The Gospel according to Mark.
Praise and glory to God.
Jesus came to his hometown, and his disciples followed him. On the Sabbath, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were astounded. They said, "Where did this man get all this? What is the wisdom that has been given to him? What deeds of power are being done by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary and brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us?" And they took offense at him. Then Jesus said to them, "Prophets are not without honor, except in their hometown, among their own kin and in their own house." And he could do no deed of power there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and cured them. And he was amazed at their unbelief. Then he went out among the villages, teaching. He called the 12 and began to send them out two by two, and gave them authority over the unclean spirits. He ordered them to take nothing on their journey except a staff. No bread, no bag, no money in their belts, but to wear sandals and to not put on two tunics. He said to them, "Wherever you enter a house, stay there until you leave the place. If any place will not welcome you, then they refuse to hear you. As you leave, shake off the dust that is on your feet as a testimony against them." So they went out and proclaimed that all should repent. They cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and cured them. This is the Gospel of Christ.
Praise to Christ, Lord.
In the name of the Holy and Undivided Trinity, Amen.
Amen.
You please be seated. Good morning. You know, if you want to get to know a family, there are a couple of ways you can do it. One is you can get them to tell stories, because families like to tell stories about themselves, and you will get to know people through those stories. The other way is a little bit more passive. It's the photo album way. You look through and you see these moments fixed in time. And both of them tell an element of truth, but both tell the story slightly differently. The stories are fun because you can imagine yourself in that situation. It's why I've really enjoyed this series that we're on now about David and reading the story of David becoming king. And then now that finally, it's taken us a month to get there, but finally David is the king, and things will start getting a little good as we hear how he reigns. You learn a lot about someone from the stories. But this morning's reading from 2 Samuel is more like a snapshot. It's like that family portrait where everybody dresses up and wears clothes they would never wear. Like where I'm from, the southern thing to do is for everybody to go to the beach wearing khaki pants and a white shirt. Have you seen one of these where the whole family just happens to be wearing that out at the beach with the pants cuffed up and they're walking along the water? And it tells you a snapshot, a moment of time, but it doesn't tell you the story. What it does tell you is how that family wants to see itself, how it prefers to present itself. A snapshot, a portrait, tells you what a group of people wants to be, what they aspire to be, and how they see themselves. And that's why this first reading, even if there's not a lot of action in it, we don't get a lot of story today, but we do get some sense of who the people of God aspire to be and how their ruler aspires to rule. So the reading that we just heard this morning says that David is anointed king. You may remember that we heard about David's first anointing when Samuel anointed him when he was pulled in from the field. He was out as the youngest brother, remember, and he was pulled in as the shepherd boy. And, you know, well, surely not this one. You want the good-looking one. But David comes in, and they figure out, no, actually, this is the one, this shepherd. Well, now instead of shepherding sheep, he's been called to shepherd people. And he's calling together a bunch of disparate people who are in factions with each other, and they argue over the dumbest things. The 12 tribes of Israel are all over the place, and they disagree, and they have these just Herculean battles. You've heard the joke about academics that the reason that the battles in academia are so fierce is because the stakes are so low. And so it is. If you've seen the movie Life of Brian, you know about the great antipathy between the Judean People's Front and the People's Front of Judea. Because they're really the same thing, but they have these picayune differences, and they get so wrapped up in the things that divide them that they can't see that they are one people. Well, under the reign of David, who was patient enough not to go out and just grab all his authority and impose it on people, he was patient. And he lamented the death of Saul, his adversary. And he pulled the people together who had been in mourning together to see that there was a bright future in front of him, and he waited for them to declare that he was king. And even though he had already been anointed, he waited to be anointed for the third time before he really took office and became king over a united kingdom for 40 years. It was a remarkable achievement. There are a couple of things that characterize David's kingship as this snapshot, this photograph of what leadership is supposed to look like. The first has to do with his status as a shepherd. As I said before, we know that he was pulled in from the fields as a boy shepherd without a lot of responsibility. Now he's supposed to shepherd people. It's the first time that we have this image in Scripture of shepherd as meaning someone who actually leads, someone whose job is to take care of other people. This is the first scriptural image of that being a major leadership role. And so I couldn't help but notice it as we opened our worship this morning. On the front of your bulletin at the bottom, it says, Christ is the good shepherd who knows and cares for every one of the sheep in different folds. In Christ, there is neither Jew nor Gentile. In Christ, there is no discrimination of gender, class, or race. In Christ, the poor are blessed. The simple receive truth hidden from the wise. That's what a good shepherd is. Is, among other things, one who doesn't make these false distinctions. And so it's in that way that the people that David is called to lead recognize him as their kindred. The scripture we just heard this morning says that they named him as flesh of their flesh and bone of their bone. He was one of them, and they could see that. They were one people, and they could see their unity, and all this Judean People's Front and People's Front of Judea business all went away. That's the first characteristic. The second has to do with covenant. In the same way that David entered a covenant with God, and God promised to make David a great leader and ruler and king, David promised to God to be faithful, to listen to his command, and to follow it, and to lead the people into the presence of God and into faithful living as God's people. And in the same way, as David became the ruler of the people of Israel, he entered covenantal relationship with them. That is, he agreed to be faithful to them and to lead them with wisdom and patience and skill. They agreed to be his people and to be one people and to recognize that he was their shepherd and that God was their real king. So there is something about this. I guess the third piece that I would throw out there is that David had a vision for this that the people didn't seem to get at the time, and that is that since the time the Jews were called out of Exodus and into the promised land and came together as a people and were exiled to different places and came back and all these things that David could not yet have foreseen, all the particulars of this, it is the quality of these desert people to be nomads, to be sojourners, to be on a journey. It has always been characteristic of the people of God that we are on a journey. And so as much as it is tempting in this moment of David's triumph and his greatness to say it will always be this way, and as much as it's true that David could not have foreseen the particulars of his very complicated future or that of his people, it is nonetheless the case that David knew that he and his people were sojourners. So how appropriate that we have this reading on our own Independence Day weekend. Because isn't that who we are as a people? Haven't we as Americans always been travelers and sojourners, people who undergo massive change, people who are on the move constantly, people who are never quite settled, but constantly being called to something different, sometimes in good ways, sometimes in bad, but constantly called to change. We Americans are sojourners too. Just as David had been victorious over a king who knew nothing of servant leadership, who knew nothing of covenantal relationship, David knew those things, and our own history is rooted in that kind of idyllic quality of overthrowing tyranny and oppression, of having representative democracy, of having leaders who represent the interests of their own people, who serve as shepherds, as servant leaders in our own culture. So as we enter an election period, it might be instructive for us to look for candidates who understand that at the end of the day, they are shepherds, that their chief responsibility is not to claim power for themselves or even for our country, but rather to serve the people who have elected them in the first place. And in the same way, that they rule by covenant, that they rule by means of an authority that is granted to them by the American people and by a responsibility that they have to lead with wisdom and courage. So, in many ways, we are not unlike these people of ancient Israel who are looking for a new leader now and remembering our own independence and our own snapshot moment of who we are. Alan Kubitschek wrote, "We gather to renew our commitment to become a people like David, a people like Israel, a people like Jesus, who remember who we are and whose we are. We are God's sojourner people. And like our lifetime here, we have now only a brief time for this sojourn and this reflection. We have only a brief time to become perfect as God is perfect in caring for others, all others who sojourn with us, and for the earth as God's creation. If we take this time to reflect on how we as a nation might use our liberty in accordance with God's gracious will, we will come to know the kind of faithfulness and hope that gave David and all those who came and still come to the shores of North America seeking a more true vision of God's purpose. The courage to live, to leave the realm of the familiar as we continue to step out and into the new world God already has begun in Christ. With Christ and in Christ, and to Christ be all honor and glory, now and forever. Amen."